Hello, this is Jaden Finder. We want to thank you for listening today. We would love to connect with you on social media. Now let's go into the live message.
Very quickly, there are believers in Jesus. Believing in Jesus doesn't do much because the Bible says even the devil believes and trembles. If the devil believes and trembles, that means he believes in Jesus more than some of us because you haven't trembled since you've been in the room. You watch somebody else tremble. You watch somebody else worship. You say, I believe. Oh, I know you believe because you're here on a Wednesday night. Say, what's the difference between a believer and a disciple? A believer in Christ, the existence of God, but a disciple of Christ is a disciplined follower of Christ, meaning I am making my life line up with the teaching of Christ, with the person of Christ, with the purpose of Christ. Somebody say amen. Said it seizes, it throws him to the ground. I asked your disciples to drive out the spirit. This is one of the worst accusations ever on the people, on the disciples of Jesus. I asked your disciples to drive out the spirit, but they could not. Here's where we are in society today. The ones that can, won't. The ones that can't, will. Say, make that make sense. I know a lot of preachers that believe what I'm preaching today, but they will not step off the platform and get their hands dirty and casting out devils and doing what the New Testament said we were called to do. All we want to do is teach, preach, have a quick prayer line, make a couple podcasts, make a couple nice posts, and call it a week when God said, hey, this week you're going to have to cast out some devils. See, I want Living Way to be a New Testament church, so we can't just be a cute church. You bring your broken, you bring your busted, you bring your possessed. We ain't scared. We want all of that smoke. And I know churches all over San Antonio that say they're a full gospel church and a New Testament church, but when Satan shows up, they don't know what to do. Then I know some that really want to, but they can't. The ones that can, won't. The ones that want to, can't. Well, you're in the right church today because we want to and we can. We are able and we are willing. Not because of us, but because the same spirit that raised Christ from the dead now dwells in us. And the Bible says that Jesus, Luke 9:1, called his disciples to him and gave them power to heal the sick and to cast out devils. And so that is who we are. I brought them to your disciples to drive out the spirit, but they could not. Meaning this, they tried and failed. I've been there before. I've prayed prayers in altars that it looked like they were not answered. I've prayed prayers in my own life where my faith was not at the level that my words were. They tried to cast out the demon but could not. The enemy is active. It seizes him, the Bible says. It throws him to the ground. The enemy is active, so our faith must be active. Turn your news on tonight at 10 o'clock, any channel. Turn on the national news, any channel tonight, and you are going to see an active enemy. And so if there's an active enemy, we need active disciples. We need believers that don't just patty cake on Wednesday night, that don't just quote a couple scriptures on Sunday morning and listen to the new Maverick City song, but we need people that when we leave this building and it's just us, Jesus, and the Holy Ghost, that we are active believers. Faith is not a church thing. It's a life thing. It's a disciple thing. It's a believer thing. It's a casting out devil thing. It's a healing the sick thing. It is an active part of everyday life. The enemy is active, so our faith, we as disciples, must be active. The disciples believed enough to attempt to cast the demon out. Here's my question. The Bible doesn't say it, but I pondered it this week. Were the disciples even surprised that it didn't work? Or were they just throwing this man a bone? Like, let's just pray for him, get him out of our hair, If it works, it works. If it doesn't, it doesn't. See, and that's where, it as a believer, we've got to press past where we feel comfortable, because since it's not our son, sometimes we don't pray as hard. Let me say that again. I thought it'd be better on a Wednesday night. Sometimes because it's not your cancer, you don't pray as hard. Sometimes because it's not your kid, you don't worship as hard. Sometimes because it's not your marriage, you don't. And let me just say this. We got 20-some ministries you can join in Living Way, and we want you to join as many as you can and serve as faithfully as you can. But one ministry that you see in the room but you never see an application for is our altar ministry. Why? Because altar ministry is invitation only. Because we don't want people trying to cast out devils. We don't want people believing enough to lay hands on them and ho-hum, it didn't happen, time to go to Outback. We want people that we know in the trenches called the altar that we can go to war with. That's why when something happens, I don't post it on Facebook. I call Mario. I call Tammy. I call David. I call Reba. I call Michael. This is the situation. This is what we got to pray for. Why? Because I trust their prayers. They ain't trying, and they will pray just as much for my family as they do their family. They will exercise just as much faith for my health as they do their. Listen, it's not my need or your need. Where there's a need, God will fill it. God, use me and my faith. And God, let's do something great for kingdom. So, I'm really not. It's not my problem. If it happens, it happens. If it doesn't, it doesn't. No, I want to see miracles abound. The disciples believed enough to attempt. This is Jesus talking now. I know 2022, church, universally, I know a lot of pastors have bowed to being politically correct. I know that the shows that depict Jesus, depict him as a white man with blonde hair, blue eyes, and an English accent, and he is the wussiest person that you've ever seen. I am here to tell you, that is not the Jesus I know. There's a famous saying that, what would Jesus do? And now they've actually answered it with another saying that he would love first. But can I tell you that that same Jesus that loved first also flipped tables and chased people out of the church with a whip? I'm here to tell you, if Jesus was alive today, he would not be a meek, soft-spoken Jesus. He would be on CNN and Fox News telling everybody exactly how it was. And he turns to the church, to the disciples, and he says, you unbelieving generation, how long shall I stay with you? Oh, here comes a hard saying. And how long shall I put up with you? When our mouth talks and writes checks that our faith can't cash, Jesus says, how long do I have to put up with people that talk the talk but refuse to walk the walk? How long do I have to put up with believers that know every lyric to every Hillsong song, that can quote scriptures all day long and all night long, but when the devil shows up, they cannot cast him out? When a cancer shows up, they cannot put their hands on and see healing and recovery. I am here to tell you, God has put up with a lot of things, and to take a little soundbite from our 11 a.m. series, I thank God that he is long-suffering. I thank God that he does not judge me based on a weak, faithful moment, but I am here to tell you, as this world dwindles down, as this world spins out of control, as the coming of Jesus becomes closer, we cannot, we will not, we should not sit on the bench of life and sit on the sidelines. We've got to get activated. As your faith is, so be it unto you. If you don't like your life, add some faith to it. Not just a declaration, but make it a reality to what God, he said, how long do I have to put up with you? Bring the boy to me. So they brought him. When the Spirit saw Jesus, it immediately threw the boy into a convulsion. He fell to the ground, rolled around, foaming at the mouth. Jesus asked the boy's father, how long has he been like this? What a sad answer he says. He says, from childhood. This is not a three-day issue. For years, he's watched his son not be able to say a word but foam at the mouth, chomp his teeth, squeal, throwing himself in the fire to kill him, throwing himself in the water to drown him. Jesus said, how long has he been like this? He said, from childhood, often it throws him in the fire and in the water to kill him. This is what the man says, but if you can do anything, take pity. Here's the thing, church. Jesus doesn't pity you. Jesus loves you. Let me say that again for someone. Jesus doesn't pity you. He loves you. Jesus doesn't heal you because he feels sorry for you. He heals you because he loves you. Jesus doesn't deliver us from addiction because he feels sorry for us and the family that it hurts because of our addiction. He delivers us because he loves us so much. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man would lay down his life for his friend. Can I remind you in the room today that you have people that say they love you, but they wouldn't spit in your ear if your brain was on fire? But before you were born, and when we were steeped in sin and covered with all kinds of mess, Jesus said, I love you enough to stretch out and die for you. I love you enough to take your place. I love you enough to go down to the depths of hell and to defeat the enemy. I love you enough to not stay dead, but to rise again in resurrection. I'm not feeling sorry for you. I love you, and my love is what's going to deliver you and heal you and give you power. So this is the thing. If Jesus responded this way, church, then we should too. I'm guilty of blessing the panhandler because I feel sorry for them. Am I the only one? I'm guilty of giving a little extra to the wait staff because I feel sorry for them. Feeling sorry for someone doesn't help them. It enables them. I'm not an enabler. You know my bluntness. You're not going to get a lot of pats on the back. You're going to get a suck it up buttercup. You're going to get, hey, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. I'm not telling you that I won't embrace you when you need it, cry with you when you need it, love you when you need it, but 90% of the time, I'm going to hit you square between the eyes with the word of God and the spirit of God and say, hey, God's got greater than what you're producing. God's got greater than how you're reacting to this situation. Having pity on people does not help them. It enables them. And the only thing I'm enabling you to do or once enabled you to do is to say yes to Jesus Christ. But you know what helps people? When you love them and your faith works. You know why? It's going to get tight. I got a couple minutes left. You know why we don't pray for people more at work? We're afraid it's not going to work. Because if I told you today, every prayer you pray the next 24 hours is going to be answered, you'd be laying hands on everything. You'd call your mother-in-law today, tonight. I gotta see you tomorrow. I gotta see you tomorrow before 8:20 p.m. because I'm gonna lay my hands on you and I'm gonna speak a blessing over you. I'm also gonna cast out some devils. If I knew that every prayer that I prayed would be answered, I would get in my truck, I would drive across the street to Northeast Methodist Hospital, and from here to the hospital, I'd be praying for my children, my marriage, my wife, and my money. But when I get in that hospital, I said, you take me to the ICU, and I'm going to lay hands on everybody in this hospital. I'm not only going to heal them with the power of Jesus, I'm going to heal marriages, I'm going to restore families. If every prayer we prayed, we knew it would work, but we don't pray at work. What if it doesn't work? There's no faith in that prayer. I'll tell you, when I was a young preacher, I was guilty of praying for people in wheelchairs, saying, oh God, what if they don't get up? It's going to be embarrassing for me. I was worried about my embarrassment when they're bound to a wheelchair instead of saying, God, you didn't call me to speak eloquently. You didn't call me because I'm the smartest dude in the room. You didn't call me because I'm the best. You called me because you knew I'd say yes. And I don't want to be a prisoner of the pulpit. I want to be released that when I lay hands and it doesn't happen, I'm just as surprised as anybody. So now when I lay hands on somebody in a wheelchair, I'm shocked when they don't get up. I am shocked when I pray over somebody's money and it doesn't manifest in 24 hours. I'm shocked. Great testimony this week. But a young man coming to church here for about the last 6 months, him and his family, and he had a huge court case coming up, and he had an ankle monitor, and they wouldn't let him go to summer camp. He's 16 or 17 years old. They said, no, you can't leave the city, and we did all we could to get him to summer camp, and they wouldn't let him go to summer camp, but the devil made the mistake because the devil let his little brother go to summer camp, and his little brother went to summer camp and got filled with the Holy Ghost, gave his life to Jesus Christ, and came back on fire. The devil also made another mistake because grandma is saved and filled with the Holy Ghost. Auntie is saved and filled with the Holy Ghost. Dad is saved and filled with the Holy Ghost. And so this young man went and had his court case this week. And guess what? They dropped every charge. They put him on probation for a year, not even an hour of community service. Why? Because when I laid my hands on him, when Mario laid his hands on him, when Sean Clark, who's in Minnesota watching tonight, laid his hands on him, we're not just, well, I hope it works out right, and I hope he gets off. No, devil, in the name of Jesus, you get your hands off of this boy. Not pity. Stand on your feet. Not pity. Not pity, but power. You don't need my pity. You need God's power. You don't need man's pity. You need God's power. Check this out. He said, the father said, if you can do anything, take pity on us and help us. Jesus responded with a question. If you can, said Jesus, everything is possible for the one who believes. Church, if you want to be a hero of faith, you got to get past what this man said. God, if you can do anything. If you can do anything, oh, you don't know Jesus. Jesus said, if you can do anything, he said, I can do everything. If you can do anything, I can do everything. Replace if in your vocabulary to when. Not if God heals me, when God heals me. Not if God delivers me, when God delivers me. Oh, I'm not afraid. I know Jathan. Jathan's had a rough go of it with his health. Broke his ankle in three places. Broke the growth plate diagonally, horizontally, and vertically. But we're going to anoint him tonight. And I believe the next x-rays are going to show something completely different than the first set of x-rays. And that is my hope. That is not what I see. It is my hope. It is the evidence of things not seen. We need to move from possible to probable. From probable to it shall. Everything is possible. Immediately the boy's father exclaimed, I do believe. But Jesus, help me to believe even more. Help me overcome my unbelief. Here's the thing. And the NIV says, I do believe, but help me overcome my unbelief. That's where a lot of us are. I believe Wednesday, 8:15. God, help me with my unbelief. Thursday, 8:15 in the morning. I believe. Sunday morning, 11:35. Monday, God, help me with my unbelief. We've got to get you off of the roller coaster of faith. And we've got to get you on that plane where you're always headed up. God, I believe, but help me to believe even more. That's a prayer that every believer in the room and online can say. That's what makes you a hero. God, I have more faith than I did this time last year, but God, I want more faith this next year. As we get ready to pray, I'm going to open this altar right now. And I, I, in my heart of hearts, there's another two or three dozen people that should be in this altar tonight because your faith has wavered. But I'm here to tell you, you might have walked in here with zero faith, but God is going to let you leave here with hero faith. I just need you to get enough gumption to leave your seat and take 30 steps, 50 steps to an altar, not because of me, but because God has a date with destiny and your name is on it. And when you stand in his presence, everything's going to change. Everything's going to change. Everything's going to change. Robin, everything's going to change. Your faith is stronger than it used to be. Everything is going to change. Melissa, everything's going to change. Your faith is, it's grown since we met you. But you're going up another level. It's not if, it's when. I don't know what you're believing for, but that if has bothered you. What if it doesn't happen? What if? What if when it happens? That's faith. When it happens. When it happens. Man, I feel this so strong in my spirit. God, I got some things I'm believing for. God, take if out of my vocabulary. Let this not be a pulpit presentation, but God, let this be an everyday power. Not if, but when. Martin, not if, but when. Not if, but when. Not if, but when. I believe, but God, help me to believe even more. Simple altar call tonight. God, I believe, but help me to believe even more. I don't want to be like the disciples in this, where I try to do things and I fall short in faith. God, I don't want you to look at me and have that moment of how long do I have to put up with this, Lord? Not for very much longer, because I'm in your presence. I'm at this altar. I'm watching online. My hands are upheld and held high. I believe, but help me to believe even more. If there's anybody in this room or online today that doesn't know Jesus Christ, this is your moment. Everything we do hinges on kingdom, gospel, and salvation. There is no kingdom unless the gospel is preached and you receive Jesus. Jesus is not a religious figure. Jesus was not just a good teacher or a rabbi. He's the Son of God. He is God in flesh. 2,000 years ago, he came to this earth, lived a sinless life, took our place on the cross like a ewe, a sheep going to slaughter, never opened his mouth, because if he had opened his mouth, he could have called 10,000 angels to come and get him off that cross. But he stayed on the cross so that you and I could stand here in September 28, 2022 and call on the name of the Lord and receive salvation, deliverance, and 100 other things. If you don't know Jesus, got a spot right here for you. If you've never said yes as Savior, never made him your Lord, we're ready for you. If you're watching online, it's as easy as lifting your hands in that dorm room and just saying, Jesus, I need you. I'm sorry for all of my sin. Forgive me. I believe who you are. I believe what you've done. The only way to get to heaven is you. And God floods that room wherever you're watching tonight. Then if you're in this room, you've never been baptized in water, this is your moment. If you've never been filled with the Holy Ghost, this is your moment. You talk about the 1-2 punch, faith and Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost makes your faith 1,000 times more powerful. If you need anything tonight, this is your moment. But for those of you in this altar, I want you to lift your hands if they're not already lifted. And I want you to just say a derivative of what I've preached the last 7 or 8 minutes. God, I believe, but help me to believe even more. God, I have faith, but increase my faith. God, I have faith, but God, I want more faith. I've had faith for me and mine, but God, give me faith for my family, my extended family. Give me faith for my city, my community. I'm going to ask our pastoral team to go ahead and start laying hands down. this row of people. I'm going to put this microphone down and I'm going to start laying hands as well. We got 5 minutes left. We've done a lot tonight. We dedicated all those children. But tonight, this moment, it's worth digging in deeper to hear from God in this moment. Let's pray.